The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
As you know, we are big fans of NABE, the National Association for Business Economics. So they're the folks that use economics in their business, and they come out with a survey, I think three times a year, if I'm not correct. We generally have someone on to discuss that survey with us because we think it's so important, because it really represents what manufacturers and businesses in the United States are thinking. This morning we're pleased to have Mr. Jim Diffley on with us. Jim is Managing Director of Global Insights U.S. Regional Services Group, with overall responsibility for regional services, including the Regional Core Macroeconomic Service and the Global Insight Real Estate and Construction Service. Man, that's a lot. Since 1998, he has supervised the quarterly economic forecast of the 50 states and over 300 metropolitan areas in the United States. So this man ought to know what's going on. Anyway, we're pleased to have him with us this morning representing NABE. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike.
And thank you so much for being with us today. Well, I understand that the report overall, based upon what John Silva said, and I think what you said, the report is a little less optimistic than it was the last time.
That's correct. It is still optimistic. We're still, our panel, over 100 economists, business economists across the country, is still optimistic going forward for robust growth in the U.S., but a little less optimistic than they had been earlier in 2014. By the way, or 2015, I'm sorry. By the way, I'll make one correction. We do the survey every quarter, so four times a year.
Every quarter, okay. I couldn't remember if it was three times a year or four times a year, but thank you. Okay, so let's just start out. Sales growth, they're looking for sales to be higher, apparently, but less so than last time, right?
Yeah, and it's important to understand what less so means. We're measuring the number of our respondents who expect increasing sales. So the majority do, but it's a less strong majority than it was in April and January.
Okay?
But
and,
growth, we're not talking about the rate of sales growth per se.
Right. And profit margins increased at more firms in the second quarter than the first. So
profit
whatever
margins
sales
was a positive factor in the second quarter. That's right.
Yeah. So whatever sales were taking place, at least they were making more money. I'm
an
a little surprised.
Right.
I'm a little surprised because of the in fact, later on in the report, it really surprised me that they seemed to indicate that the appreciating U.S. dollar had not had any material effect, 54% said, on their business in the last 3 months. Do you think, though, whatever effect it did have might have been in sales? Because certainly as we look at the stock market, as we analyze stocks, and we have people that come on that are specific to the industry where they're, you know, strategists and things like that, they're constantly saying that the strength of the U.S. dollar is really hurting exports and thus really hurting sales here in the United States.
And they're right. So let's decompose what the survey told us. The majority of respondents did not find that the increase in the value had a material impact. Now, a lot of our respondents are U.S.-only companies. That's true. But if we break down the type of respondent and we characterize our industry sectors into four groups, one of which is goods producing, including the manufacturing, that's uh-huh. where the biggest negative effect occurred. So they have been, and that's what you expect when you think about declining export demand as well as import competition. It's that those manufacturers were definitely exposed to the high dollar and have been disadvantaged because of it.
Okay.
So that is consistent in that sense.
All right. Now, what about rising prices? What did the survey say? Are we in for inflation?
No one's expecting inflation in the sense of a rising rate of price increases, but prices will rise a bit. Wages are rising a bit. Wages in the second quarter did not rise as much as the respondents had expected in the earlier surveys. They do expect increases in the third quarter. That's one of the reasons prices aren't going up quite yet, but we don't expect a large increase. They don't expect a large increase. The labor market's definitely getting tighter. That's the thing. The report of shortages, particularly of skilled labor, have increased. They've increased over time, but they've particularly increased this year. So all signs are to something that's good for the economy in many respects, rising wages, but of course that has differential effects on business sales, and bottom prices, and the bottom line.
Now, one of the complaints that we hear on Wall Street all the time is that Yes, they've got rising wages, a lot of it being pushed, I think, from this minimum wage issue that's been out there for a long time. But skilled labor seems to be very hard to get in U.S. corporations. In fact, there was a big report I was discussing yesterday about the lack of skilled labor. What did you ask your folks about that, and what was their response?
Yeah, the response was that to report a greater degree of labor shortages for skilled labor. And again, if you look at the manufacturers, that's where it's really coming from predominantly. They're worried about the old tradesmen, precision manufacturing workers, machine operators, et cetera, that are retiring, continuing to retire. And the 20-somethings in our world haven't been trained in that way by a collective decision, if you will, and their own decision. And
right.
Obviously many state governments and many manufacturing associations and manufacturers are trying to implement training to replace these people whose experience and skill is very valuable, even in a rapidly changing technological environment, in fact, more so.
Yeah, if you had a need for Twitter or Facebook experts, the 20-somethings are there for you.
That's exactly right. So it does matter which industry sector you're talking about. You mentioned retail, by the way, and the minimum wage, and there, obviously there is some pressure from government minimum wages, but you notice the Walmart and other large retailers have started to increase wages on their own, and one of the reasons is, not just public relations, is that the labor shortages are appearing there as well. As unemployment goes down, that supply of labor is not so readily available as before.
Is that right? I mean, unemployment numbers that we hear from the government, are they actually accurate then? It sounds like we really have a beginning to have a tightness of labor now.
Well, it's getting tighter. I wouldn't say it's back to normal yet, but
right.
They're accurate. But, you know, economists have always talked about this natural rate of unemployment. And there's going to be some churn in the labor market where you're never going to have 0% unemployment or even 1% and 2%. So when it's getting down to the low 5 points, it's getting near that what we term natural rate or full employment rate of unemployment.
So for the full employment rate's about 5%, you say?
Five. You know, debate whether it's as low as 4, more in the 4.5.
Is there any? We've got a little bit less than a minute. We can hold over to the next segment. But is there was any discussion among your members of how we're going to deal with this lack of skilled labor?
There's discussion from the industry groups trying to encourage training, highlight how sexy manufacturing is as opposed to other high tech.
Right.
And certainly from governmental organizations. I've talked to many governments. Most recently, the new Republican entrant, John Kasich, in Ohio.
All right, hang on, Jim. We'll have to cover that after the next section. Back in just a moment, folks.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We're talking about business in the United States and how healthy it is, and the responses of those members of NABE. NABE is a National Association for Business Economics and probably the best, I think, source to learn what businesses are actually thinking in the United States. We're fortunate this morning to have a director of NABE, Mr. Jim Diffley. James Diffley is he's the chair of the survey this time. They do 4 surveys a year. He is also managing director of Global Insights U.S. Regional Services Group. And so he himself is an economist all the time, full time. So, Jim, going back to the survey, capital spending is down in your report. So, doesn't that seem to indicate that people are being a lot more cautious?
Yeah, they're being more cautious. As we said, though the outlook is positive, it's slightly less positive than previous surveys. And capital spending had, if you follow our surveys going back to January and April, had a big upsurge, downsurge, which you expect in that type of decision making.
Okay, all right. And then they said that the majority of our survey participants, as we've been saying, expect solid economic growth despite disappointing first quarter economic data. And you were talking during the break of some of the unusual factors like weather that have affected the data so far, because really what surprises me, and it doesn't surprise me that the survey was positive, because it was positive last time. It's a little less positive this time. And obviously, as you look around, the United States is getting better. It's getting healthier. More and more people are going back to work. but it just doesn't seem to be that robust. I mean, I'm in Texas, so Texas really didn't get hurt that badly. But I do travel all around the United States, and so when I go to Michigan or Chicago or something like that, it just doesn't seem like the feel of the country is that things are doing all that well yet. Everybody seems to be predicting, including the members of NABE, that we would have a very nice second half. I've never seen it turn on a dime like that. But what would be some of the factors that kept us down in the first half, and what are some of the factors that could drive us higher in the second half?
Well, see, we're not arguing, and most are not arguing, that we're turning on a dime. It seems that way if you look at one number, the GDP number, that came
right
back then negative in the first quarter. There were special factors there having to do with the winter weather effect, the West Coast shipping and port disruption, that, you know, you can quantitatively take out the data and understand what was happening underneath. At the same time, we had this series of monthly indicators on consumer spending, on jobs, et cetera, investment, that had been bullish late in 2014, very bullish late in 2014, maybe slowed a little in the first quarter, but then picked up again in the second quarter and into the summer. So we are reading solid numbers of underlying growth. That said, our growth for, and most of the survey respondents and IHS as well, is looking at 2.5 to 3% growth for the rest of the year. You know, slightly under 3%, 2.9% to be precise. That is robust. By historical standards, though, it's not the boom that you might recall from earlier periods of recovery. But nevertheless, the unemployment rate's coming down at last. It's been in a slow slog. Consumers are seeing higher wealth, better jobs, their spending's picking up, we expect that to continue, et cetera.
Okay. Now, I was a little surprised that it got near the end of the survey that over the last 3 months, the economic impact from lower oil prices had not had a material effect, according to 51% of the people. I thought lower oil prices really was one of the major reasons why some of them did well.
There's two factors from oil prices, right? The boost to consumer spending, primarily from lower energy costs, particularly gasoline. There's other boosts in the economy. But you noted that you're from Texas, and we're talking to a largely Texas audience. But Texas growth has slowed dramatically.
Right.
There was a group of the region of the country, the oil patch, consisting of 6 to 10 states, that were doing phenomenally well, while other areas of the country were struggling to catch up.
Yes,
that's
we
been reversed with the oil price decline.
Right.
Now, Texas is not in a recession by any stretch of the imagination, but there is a huge growth driver that's been slowed down, and you see that in the data, and it's much more stark in places like North Dakota, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the same thing is true within the manufacturing sector. Not only the oil and gas firms, of course, adversely affected by lower prices, but the firms that supply goods and services, particularly into their supply chain, are adversely affected. So depending on where you are, and Houston's a perfect case to see this, you have a negative net impact from the oil price decline that colors the feelings of different types of survey respondents. And we see that in the survey where, if you look at manufacturers, and the same thing's true, by the way, with the response to the increase in the value of the dollar. The manufacturers feel it as a strong negative. The survey respondents overall as mildly negative.
Okay. We have a question.
We do have a question coming from, we've got Mark out of Houston.
Okay.
And Jim, what he wants to know is really going back to the unemployment rate. So it says when you're talking about it nearing 5%, how does he consider those who have left the market because they cannot find work and are generally not counted in that data?
Right. Probably the participation rate, yeah.
That's right. The labor force participation rate is important. The labor force participation declined sharply. It's still low, finally starting to come back up. But that's a very important consideration. We shouldn't just look at the headline unemployment rate. And, in fact, the BLS itself in their monthly rates provides 6 different measures trying to capture the degree of stress from including those who are working part-time that would want to be working full-time, those who have dropped out of the labor force, et cetera. So the questioner is right. We need to look at all those factors. But the nice thing is that all those factors have shown improvement in the last year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So we're headed in the right direction. Right. Now, you also, your survey also said 69% of the participants said that China had had no impact on their firms in the last quarter. Is that because they deal primarily domestically?
Yes. Yes. The idea is that, I mean, the slowdown in China has repercussions across the world. It lowers the demand for some U.S. goods and services. There's a net negative, agreed, but it's not so preponderant in our survey response. Yeah.
Okay. And then what about interest rates? It's interesting. I don't even know if you asked them if they would hypothecate a target price for interest rates, what's going to happen. But 38% said they expect no material impact. 37% said it would be a negative effect. So it seems like a draw, with 25% saying it would have a positive impact, assuming that they raise interest rates sometime in this second half of the year.
It was very close indeed. Remember, interest rates have been historically low, and everyone has expected them to begin to come up at the short-term rates under the Fed guidance relatively soon. So a lot of this is already baked into the expectation.
Do you have a prediction on interest rates? Do you have any idea when they might go up and how much, and then what? You know, is it going to be like a? We've heard all kinds of things, but I think the consensus seems to be like maybe a quarter point, half a point, a quarter a couple of times in a row, and then kind of stop for a while.
Something like that. I'm not going to speak directly to our forecast because I don't know the details of it right off the top of my head. I don't want to misstate it.
Right.
We are looking for increases starting later this year. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Listen, Jim, thank you very much for being with us and for representing Nave. We appreciate it very much. We hope you have a great day.
My pleasure. Good talking to you.
Thank you, sir. That was James Diffley, folks, Managing Director of Global Insights, U.S. Regional Service. I think the company is actually called IHS. He's in the forecasting business.
Right.
So anyway, stay with us. We'll be back in just a few moments. You're listening to Straight Talk Money.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.